Hello, guys. Welcome back to the HCR2 Community Podcast. It's me, Juanito, from Team Reddit. And as always,
Hulkster from USA.
So this time around, we have a guest from a new team. But actually, I'm going to give Hulk the honors of introducing our next guest.
Yes. So as we said in the previous podcast, Moto is his motto, no matter the stage. The motocross wizard himself, Deflorator, as his in-game name is, but we call him Deflo.
Hi guys, happy to be here.
Thank you. By the way, quick question: is it Deflorator or Deflorator? How do you say it?
Well, it's a good question. In English, you would say Deflorator, I guess.
That's how I say it, well. Deflorator.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I think everyone's saying Defo, and I want to take it. I think that sounds also okay.
All right, fair enough. Because I heard the Hulk say that, and I was just there like, oh, wow, I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Well, happy to have you here. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I think, a lot of people will know you because of your YouTube channel. I think when we talked, we mentioned that you are either the third or the fourth highest subscriber count YouTuber in the community, in HCR2.
Yeah, somehow came that way. I think it's number three or four. I think Linus and I are pretty much at the same stage. But yeah, worked out at the moment. And yeah, I think number three, number four.
So can you take us through your, you know, when you download the game, what teams you joined, how you built your garage, and that kind of history?
Yeah, sure. So I downloaded the game on the 31st of December, 2016. So it was New Year's, and I was in Amsterdam with a couple of friends, and one of my friends, we both used to play Hillclimb Racing 1. And I didn't know that the second game was out because I had a new phone and I didn't have the Hillclimb Racing 1 downloaded. So yeah, I saw the game that he was playing it. It was right after the release, and it was definitely looked better than the first one. The graphics looked better, and I was just I remembered when I played the first game that I thought, okay, it's all great, but I thought it would be nice if it would be a bit more competitive. So if you, for example, could drive time attacks, and so I was like pretty excited to see the second game then, and I downloaded it. Yeah, so there were only like five vehicles that I could spend my coins on. So yeah, I invested in all of those, and it's much different than it is today because, I just created a second account, and you have to be much more careful how you spend your coins because they're like, over 20 vehicles. And yeah, back then I just spent it in all vehicles, and definitely, was a fun game compared to the first one. I also liked it. I liked the gameplay, but I could just definitely feel that it's like more advanced and more competitive.
Was there anything at the start of the game, like when you started playing, was there anything that caught your attention the most, like cups or time trials?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question because that's like such a long time ago. I just remember driving cups mostly. And I was definitely also like a casual player. I think time attacks, it took me a while. I don't even know if time attacks were there at the very first updates, to be honest. I think you couldn't even drive them individually. Yeah. So, I drove cups mostly and the public events. But I also remember that sometimes if I didn't like the public event, I didn't even finish it. So, I didn't even know that some of those chests have legendary parts and stuff like this. I was a complete noob. So, it was very casual for me. And nowadays, I make sure to always like. Finish it because legendary chest is very valuable. But back then, I sometimes forgot it, or if I just didn't like the public event that much, I didn't finish it.
That's kind of how I did it too. I think that now that I didn't even know you had a second account, but the one thing that I noticed when I was building my second account is how quickly you can build it, because you know exactly what to do. You know, you got to hit public event, join a team right away, be smart about your upgrades. So you can be a pretty competitive player quickly.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I also realized it, right? I just like also, did a video about it. So it's different when you do the second, when you do your second account, because you like, very much into everything. And it's basically not your first rodeo, right? So, you know, basically how to start, how to make coins fastest, and how to grow the best. And I think in the end, because you also asked how to invest in your garage. I mean, it's up to everyone, I guess, in the end, if you spend money on the game or not. But I guess the best strategy is always to buy gems, open cups, and if you just want to make it, if you want to like grow fast for free, then of course it's just important that you, play regularly, almost daily, and finish the public event, always participate in team events, because that's how you get most coins and most parts.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I didn't even know you had an alt account as well. So what GP is your main account at? At what GP is your alt account at?
My main account is at 8.4 GP. And my second account is at 2.4, I think. Yeah. And
it's fairly new.
It is. Yeah, it's definitely new. I think before New Year's. So I think like end of December, I created it last year.
Okay, just about 2 months.
Yeah,
true. Maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been playing the game pretty much from the beginning. I'm sure, like everyone else, after the team update came out, it hooked you on. It made it so much more interesting. Which teams did you start playing in? Because I know you've been in quite a few teams, and now you've settled down at Discord.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, as I said, I was a very casual player. So for me, it was always just like fun to play a couple of times a day. I think sometimes I didn't even open the game every day. And when the team event updates came out, I wasn't there from the very beginning. I also wasn't the type of player who was like waiting for the update to be released and then download it. So I think at some point the game forces you to update. And then the team events have appeared, but I didn't pay any attention on it for quite a while. I don't know, it was like 2 weeks or something. I wasn't interested in it. But at some point I just tried it, and I joined just any team that was appearing in this tab. And it was just trying around a little. And I realized that it was really fun. My GP was absolute trash back then. it really was. And I know that GP itself wasn't released back then, so I didn't know what GP I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today I would reckon that I had like 4 GP at most. But I realized that it was fun, and I also realized that I can compete in a higher ranked team. So I was just like looking at the leaderboards and was looking for any team basically that didn't have any password, because I didn't have Discord. I was of course starting at the top of the leaderboard, and I was seeing that most of them are like, connect in Discord, and I didn't know about the app, to be honest. And so I joined a team, German Empire. They merged later on with Legenden, so now they're German Legends. So I there was a team that had like 49 players and no password, so I clicked join. And there it all started. It was fun the first weeks. I was trying to become better, and but at some point I realized that I want to like try out a different team. And it was all very relaxed. I mean, they didn't have Discord or anything that was alright for me, but I decided that I want to like be more competitive and try something else. So I just looked on the leaderboard in the top 10 which options I would have or try. And it's also kind of funny that I think about it today, because back then I also thought, okay, if a team has 50 or 50 players, it doesn't even make sense to apply, because I thought, okay, this team event thing must be all going on for a while, so all these top teams are probably all professional and they all have their team together. Yeah, that was my thought back then. But I was okay, I'm just going to try. And then I applied, I contacted Vereshak via email, and I contacted Team PR. And yeah, Vito Hall already told a little of the story. He came back to me immediately. So he said, oh yeah, we're looking for players like you if I want to join. I said, yeah, definitely. And yeah, so I joined Team PR. And
how long were you on German Empire?
That's a good question. I think it was 2 to 3 weeks.
And
not much more.
And in the 2 to 3 weeks with lower GP, were you scoring at the top of the team?
Yeah, yeah. I was definitely one of the top scorers, which I also realized that I might need a bit more a bit more competitive gameplay. I was playing back then with Steining. He's now in the Austrian Reds team. But he was also one of the top scorers. And when I left, he was also considering if he should try something else. He was going to Team Germany then. But we were basically, I would say, some of the top scorers back then. And I moved on to Team Passionate Racers. And if you already told the story, that was definitely quite funny for me as well. And I actually wouldn't have expected it. But when I joined, Adrobel was saying oh, now we have the best motocross player in our team. I was like, oh, they actually know my record.
Yeah.
So I was a bit surprised.
So you were already known for your motocross gameplay.
Yeah, definitely Adrobel. I don't know if so many other players knew me, but back then, of course, there was let's say before the team event update was released, there was half a year where I was playing much more, but I was playing a lot with a motocross. We probably get into this later on, but I played a lot of time attacks, and I was maxing out my motocross. I was getting a lot of motocross world records, and I guess that Drobel must have somehow seen my records and recognized me, and then he said this when I joined the team. And some were really picking up on this, but I was surprised myself that he knew it. But everyone was just checking then. I was like, oh yeah, you're everywhere, top five at least, or something like this. And that was definitely surprising to me, but it was a fun start.
Yeah. Okay, so then from Team PR, what made you, because there was the merge with Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. Were you in Reddit at some point, or did you within the merge you went somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. I went somewhere else. So I was in Team PR for quite a while. Avito already said a few things that I agree on. There was a lot of players left at some point. So consecutively, also top players. And that was definitely a bit disappointing in the end. Not that I was mad at anyone for leaving the team, you know. I mean, it's just the most normal thing, I would say. But at some point, it hurt even more every single time. I think when I joined, Björn was going to Reddit, and then Vito said that many other players left. So we had some top Portuguese players. They left for Portugal for their Portuguese national team, and also other top players. Cool Guy, for example, he was also leaving, and that also definitely was something where I was a bit sad, to be honest. He always seemed very, very good guy and really a great player, and it just unfortunately continued, and we were also sometimes managing to get other top players. But at some point, it was just becoming a bit frustrating, and Definitely for me, because I also really like the team, and I really didn't want to leave. I wanted the team to become stronger and to be part of it. But I guess at some point I realized that it's just like a tough, very, very tough task, because we were basically, people kept leaving. And yeah, one day, I think Adrobel asked me if I could imagine to go to Team Germany. And I was thinking about it, and I thought this actually could be a very, very interesting journey to help build a strong national team. Yeah, so he also asked the other German players, and yeah, that was definitely, to be honest, also quite a tough time for me. I was also like a bit surprised how it affected me, but yeah, if 10 people then leave the team, that was not really something you could compensate or balance out. Before, it was always that like people, one person left, or I think like 3 or 4 Portuguese players, but like 10 or 10 plus people, that was, yeah, too much for the team to compensate. So yeah, it meant at the same time that it was the end for Team Passionate Races, and that was definitely kind of sad, because it was also one of the longest teams back then. And yeah, I decided to join Team Germany. And yeah, I also definitely...
Sorry to interrupt. One question.
No worries.
So were you not one of the ones selected to be in the newly merged PR edit?
Yeah, that came afterwards, right? Because first the German players left for Team Germany.
That's right.
And then Team Passionate Races had probably like, I don't know, 40, 35 players left. And then they were considering how they continue all of this. And so when they were talking about the merge, I wasn't in the team anymore. I was already at Team Germany. So in the end, I've never been a part of this merge.
It makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then your journey in Germany, why did it also come to an end? What made you go to Discord nowadays?
Yeah. No, it was also like a moment where I thought, okay, maybe it's just time for us to start something new. I just felt that it was, I don't know, the right time to try something else. I felt I wanted to help building a strong team, an international team, and compete there. And yeah, it was also like not an easy decision. It was, must say, it was a bit easier than when I left Passionate Races, because that was my first real top team, and I really, really liked all those people. So it definitely made me feel bad when I saw that there were like basically like only down to 35 players. In the end, it led to the merge of Reddit, and they could all still basically on the all, but they could still play together in one team. So that also helped me a little bit to close that whole chapter. But yeah, with Team Germany, then I felt at some point, okay, I need some, I don't know, something like a fresh start and something new, exciting. And yeah, I was thinking where I would want to go. And yeah, I just thought that Discord was a good team. I think they were like one of the oldest teams, or the oldest team in the game. And they were known for good leadership, I thought. They always also taking care that they have a clean team, and they always seem to be fun people. And yeah, so I contacted Notch then, and he told me that I can join the team. And yeah, it was a great journey so far, so I definitely don't regret this decision. I've had a lot of fun so far, and definitely like a fun group of people to play the game with. It's very relaxed, but at the same time, of course, everybody is competitive and always wants to give their best, and always want to win. Yeah.
How long have you been on Team Discord now?
That's a good question. Definitely a couple of months, I think.
Okay, so you have a good feel for like
4 to 5 months.
You played for Discord, PR, Germany, all top teams. Can you go through, like, you know, mm-hmm. from the outside perspective, and just say, you know, things that you really liked about the teams and how they were run, or you know, things that you mm-hmm. would change maybe to make them better? You know, is it kind of like comparing mm-hmm. the three top teams that you were on?
Yeah, I could try to do that. For, I mean, definitely the Passionate Racers, that was also like in the very beginning phase. So we had three Discord channels back then. I think one was just for team events, one was for general stuff. I don't know what the third one was. So it was like very, very simple. Of course, if you compare this with today, or at least if I compare this with the Discord server that was at Team Germany or Discord, it's definitely different. Just the organization and all the different channels. I think that was definitely something maybe that we could have, could have been improved at Team Passionate Racers. What was great was for me, I thought the atmosphere was my first top team. And I think it was just like a very genuine group of people, very nice people. Team Germany, I thought that, like I said, when I joined the Discord channels, were definitely organized much more different. It was, I would say, like a bit more professional, but like a lot of different, it was well organized, different structure. But I would also, definitely say that the team atmosphere in Team Germany was also very strong. I mean, they were also playing all together for a while, everyone who was in there, and they made it easy for us to join the team. So they're definitely like a good group of people, and they also have like a, let's say, a strong group dynamic in there that was also positive. And now at Discord, I would also compliment the leadership in the end, also how the Discord channels are organized. They're always doing their best to help the team to compete and to improve. I think that's definitely something which was probably like the most outstanding thing. And there's always an event strategy channel in which if you have any difficulties or you need any tips, it doesn't take long to just like go through it and see which parts or cars are important, different strategies. That's definitely something I would compliment on Team Discord.
Now, do you think
So a quick question, D-Flo. When you were thinking about leaving Germany, did you not think of going to PR Reddit because you had your friends from PR there?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it would have been worth a try. But in the end, I just considered that I wanted to, like, I don't know, see something different, something new. But you're right. I would have definitely like loved to play again with a Draybeer or a Vitahole. So, would have been great to see those old friends again. But for some reason, I don't know, I'm definitely like a person sometimes that listens to my gut, or I try at least. And for some reason, I felt that it's, I don't know, a good idea to do it, because I felt like the team has a lot of potential. Of course, Reddit also has a lot of potential. I thought it was the right step to do, and it felt somehow right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you. How do you prepare for team events? Like, is there something that you do? Obviously, you probably score better than most people that come out with YouTube videos. So how do you prepare for team events? Do you watch Bear Shack or do you just do it on your own?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it really like also like sometimes it depends when our team event ends, right? So if our team event ends on a Friday and I would have the chance to like build my own strategy, then I'm always doing it because I think it's always fun. I'm definitely like also a creative person, so I like just to try and find new strategies. But also very often that's I start the team event on a Saturday or even on a Sunday. And then of course I always watch Vereshchag's video, and especially like by now, I think there are like so many YouTubers that only wait for the event to start, and then they post the videos. So I think it's always helpful. So I always try to like watch those videos, and but it doesn't mean if I of course sometimes I just like try to like copy those strategies, but it doesn't mean that when I start driving the team event itself, that I try to see if they're like that there are different strategies, if there are like maybe different setups or different parts that could make me improve on certain tracks. So I think that's always an important part. And other than that, I definitely try to record, right, and see where I did mistakes. I think that's definitely important for everyone. So that's definitely, I would say, a good tip. If some people don't record, it's worth it, because you get a better feeling for the mistakes that you might have done at certain parts, and it can definitely help you to improve. So analyzing your own gameplay, I think, is very important to improve your teammate score.
Yeah, that's true for sure. I think that's a big advantage. Even if you're not a YouTuber, mm-hmm. it's always good to record your gameplay or your runs, so that you can post them. I mean, I think most big teams, or even most teams nowadays, have a server. So if you mm-hmm. post it and you need some help, everyone can like look at it, go frame by frame, see where maybe you can improve. So I think definitely recording your runs is always a good idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so now that we're in the topic basically of YouTube, what got you started with your channel, and what do you think like separates you uniquely from the rest of the YouTubers, as you said, especially nowadays, almost everyone wants to have a channel.
Yeah, no, it's true. There are like a lot more people now who put their own YouTube channel. I think that's really nice, because I think it's everyone, everyone should just like give it a shot if you feel like this is something that you like. And for me back then, I think there were definitely not so many YouTubers out there. There was definitely Vereshchag and IO, and they were by far the biggest. I've always like enjoyed creating videos, sometimes cutting videos, and so I had like definitely the basics. But if I look at the first video that I did, it was pretty trash editing back then. So so it definitely improved a lot. So that definitely should encourage everyone to just start and try, because you become better. And yeah, the initial reason that I did it was definitely team events. I just started at Team PR, and I love team events, and I was just wanted to like post my runs, and that was one of the main reasons. And on the other hand, yeah, definitely the motocross itself, because I thought that the vehicle was definitely not popular. A lot of people don't like it, and
me included.
It's definitely many, many people who don't like it. And to be completely honest, now that I created my second account, I can see why it's also not popular, because you have it at the very beginning, but you can't really drive cups with it. It's very tough to drive adventures with it. And why should you spend your coins on it, if you can, buy the rally car or any other car that you can, I don't know, it's, which is much more useful for cups and adventures. So I can definitely see the point that people say, where people say they don't like it. I had it maxed out anyways, or at least the parts were maxed out, because like I said, there were only five vehicles back then when I started the game. So I had the vehicle, and at some point I just felt like that the motocross, like that's it's that the thrusters are pretty nice, that you can finish maps without fuel and only with jump shocks, and I started trying around and I liked it, and that's how I came to it. And gained a lot of world records back then, so but also especially playing cups, I thought that it just like it really looked cool, the way you could like handle the thrusters, the flips you could do, because this vehicle can go up high if you have good thrusters. So I always was it was always fun for me to drive cups, and I really thought that it could be interesting for people to see that this vehicle actually can be fast, not always, but on certain tracks or certain situations, it can become really, really fast. And I think that the gameplay is also quite fun. So that's why I thought it could be also worth posting motocross gameplay on YouTube.
Yeah, that's good to know. So you like the motocross. We know that. Is there a car or tank or truck that you don't like? And if you know, I guess, what's your least favorite vehicle? And what is an enhancement that you would make to a current vehicle? Either there's a part that's not offered for some car, or you wish it had better turbo or something like that.
Like I said, I played for a long, long time, mostly then with the motocross. My garage wasn't really like, wasn't high. I didn't own many vehicles. And that changed dramatically with team events, of course. But I must say, I talked about this before. I think I mentioned the snowmobile, that it's like, it can be trashy. I can also, of course, people say that it's also very useful for adventures, and that's very, very true. So it's not that this vehicle is a complete trash, but I just the gameplay, just the gameplay itself is not something where it'd be like, okay, that's super fun. I can also like handle this vehicle. Actually, I like it, how you can climb hills a lot with it. So it's not bad, but just to give you an example, this team event we had lately where you have to use the moon. Awful. Completely awful. I was like so annoyed. Sometimes I just died because I wasn't focused, because it was just so boring.
It was so boring. We talked about that nonstop. Yeah. We wished that we could change. So what was the order? So we wanted the super bike land boost to be track one, because then once you died, you could just hit skip, skip, skip and move on to your next ticket. And then maybe,
and then have the last
one for the coins. And then maybe have the rotator as T2. And then I forget what the first one was. It was
the first one was the chopper, the distance chopper in the
underwater.
And then the moon level always should be level 4, always, because you're flipping and it's just endless, and it's so frustrating to flip for 5 minutes to get a 10K, and then the very next level you fall short. Very frustrating.
Exactly.
So at Fingersoft, if you're listening, please keep in mind this when you make your events, so that it doesn't become annoying.
Moon flipping should be always the last level. Always.
Most frustrating one should be first.
Yeah. Or at least track 3. It's funny that you mentioned it, because I said the same thing. It was just wrong at track 2, I think. I think sometimes it's nice. For example, the last track was then the time attack or whatever. It just takes 15 seconds. I think that's all right. You could do it track 4, but at least track 3. I think it was really, really annoying that you had to like do these 4 or 5 minutes on the moon, and then you screw up.
It was all for nothing.
Yeah, you screw up and that's it, you know.
So what is I think that in terms of parts, I would love if the hot rod had wings. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That's what you mean.
I also really don't like the scooter, because it like folds up like an accordion if you land wrong. The driver is flopping all around. I wish you had the stability of the chopper on the scooter.
I see what you mean. I actually don't know. Don't you think the hot rod would be completely overpowered with wings?
It'd be fun though.
Yeah.
Already have diesel and super bike. So how much more OP can it be?
Maybe that's true. Maybe it would be just worth, trying and see how it is. I mean, I'm sure that the hot rod would be like, that would be like an extreme, advantage or like on top of it if you have wings, because
Yeah, of
if
course.
you let it explode, it can actually like fly
Right.
quite far. So if you have wings, yeah. No.
I also wish the sports, I wish the sports
All
car
right,
also
so
had the hopping ability of the little Jeep.
Oh, I mean, what's his name?
Yes,
Carlos
yes.
has that ability.
I wish normies, noobs
Oh
had the
yeah.
ability to hop it like Carlos.
All right, so speaking about Carlos, I think Carlos is probably the only guy that gives you proper competition when it comes to the motocross. I think he's just as skilled as you are. I've always seen him use it and having a lot of records nowadays.
Yeah, he's an absolutely insane player. Pochettulo and Mikos are also very, very strong. I also haven't like, I know I've really like have let this slide. I haven't played Time Attack for Motocross for quite some time. But yeah, definitely Carlos. He's an absolute beast. I mean, we just talked about his sports car abilities, and I think that was one of the most funniest things. He like never had this vehicle. I saw on his YouTube channel when he posted the video, he just bought the sports car. Tuned it, and started making world records. You know, it's like, how do you do that? You know, you don't even have this vehicle, and you just buy it, and then you like go for it. You know.
It's like, you know, today I was talking with one of my team members, Kappa. He's from Spain, and I think he got like third or second place in, you know, this track that's the 1 kilometer track in tunnels. Yep. And I, as far as I knew, the world record was with the rally. I think Roadman had it. And then he's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get it with the rally, but I mean, I got second place. I'm like, oh, second place worldwide. That's amazing. He's like, no, I'm fourth, but second with rally. I'm like, what do you mean fourth? Like, who's first? The only way to do that track is with rally. It's like, no, the world record is with Jeep. And then second place is Carlos with the sports car. Man, you need to see the run. It is ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, he has been dominating this game for such a long time. He's definitely like one of the players I respect the most. Because whenever I see his replays or records, I always just think it's just complete madness.
Is he a team event guy too, or is he just a time trial?
He is like, I mean, I
If
think he,
it's
I
a
mean, yeah.
team trial event, then he'll be. And I mean, it's not like he's bad anyways. But I think like if he has a jump shock event, he'll be really good. So distance tracks, he's also really good at.
I think the issue with him is that he's not so motivated. As I said, like sometimes he didn't even hit the sports car, right? So you can't really see if he is so good at this event because you don't know the parts of his cars, right? I think if he has the chance, if he has all the vehicles, and if he would be motivated, I think that he could be like an absolute insane team event player. But as you say, we always see him at Time Attacks because they give you usually the fast vehicles, and he has them all maxed out mostly. And he is an insane Time Attack player. So yeah, that's definitely when we see his high scores.
But doesn't he have, I mean, he has pretty high GP. Oh, no, he only has 6.7. I mean, still 6.7, you have decent parts. That's like my out.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's not so motivated, you know, all the time. That's how I feel. I think that's also how I felt about Protect for a long time, right? He was always scrapping his parts, and now he takes care of it. And yeah, he's now a very, very good team event player. I think there are a lot of Time Attack players that actually would make super great team event players, but they also would have to like stop playing Time Attacks all day and
Right.
invest in their GP, right?
Yeah, that's true. All right, then, Hulk, what do you think if we put D-Flow on the hot seat and start asking him about our questions from the community?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's take a look. So, let's see. You kind of answered the first question. This one is from Cole ST. He just said, "Why motocross?"
Yeah, so as you say, I partially said it. So at some point, I just felt like the rally car is getting kind of boring. That's what my feeling was when I was driving cars with rally car. Whenever I thought, okay, it's not super interesting or challenging, I felt like it was always the same. So I realized, okay, I really like thrusters. I was into it a lot, and I thought, okay, how would that go if I just like upgrade this vehicle, and how much is possible? And I think this was just like a way for me to like motivate me for the game, and yeah, then I just started scrapping many things, and that was also the reason why my GP was pretty low, because if you think about it, I think I back then I also had like I was legendary 160-65. That's pretty high actually, but my GP was pretty low because I never was motivated to invest in any different vehicle. So I scrapped a lot of legendary parts from different vehicles to upgrade my motocross and max it out. And I just realized that it was actually fun, and I was becoming better and better because there were times where I drove cups only with a motocross, and yeah, that's basically it. I got into it a lot, and it became my favorite vehicle then. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you something related to the motocross as well, but before that, you mentioned Avitoho, and he wanted to, this is what he says basically. He says, I don't have a question for him. I told the story how we meet in Team PR, so I just wanted to send him my best wishes. So I just wanted to give you that.
Yeah, thank you. no, it's let me send my greetings back to him.
Absolutely. I'm sure he's going to listen to this. He always loves the podcast.
Sure. No, I also listened to his podcast, and it was extremely funny. Very, very chill guy, I thought. And that's always what I thought anyways. I mean, when I left Passionate Racer back then, the last thing, or like the least thing that made me leave was him. He was really like a very genuine guy, and he was being a great leader. Definitely very, very nice of him, and greetings back.
Thank you. We'll let him know and he'll listen for sure. Anyways, the question I wanted to ask you comes from AYM, and he wanted to ask you, do you ride a motocross in real life? And if not, how long have you been a woman?
Yeah, that one's very funny. I don't drive a motocross in real life, but I'm also not a woman, so.
So how long have you been a woman?
No, I have to disappoint him. I'm not a woman, but very funny one, I must say. No, but I actually don't drive a motocross in real life. Maybe I should one day.
Well, D-Flop, I'm just saying you owe AYM a picture on top of motocross. Even if you're not riding it, just take a picture on a motocross and send it to AYM.
Okay.
Sounds fair. This next one is enough. From DCSB Rocket. It said, what does the floor term mean and why did you choose it?
Yeah, so it's obvious, right? Like this question comes always up about my name, and I can see why. It's not the most common name, but let me just explain the whole story. For me, it really has like no meaning. There's a meaning out there, but that was like not the meaning I chose. For me, it was, like I said, when I downloaded the game the first time, and I just really wanted to make my friend laugh, you know? So. When we download the game, I don't even know how this name came up. It must have come up in conversation or something. I don't know if it was an inside joke back then between a couple of people, but I thought it was funny that when he like takes my friend request and sees the name, that he would laugh, and that's what he did, and that's why I chose the name back then. So it literally has like no meaning for myself. That's why I picked it. He laughed about it, but I never really. Changed the name because I thought it was also kind of funny, so I just kept it, and I didn't know back then that I will like grow a YouTube channel one day, but that's what happened. But it also like felt kind of weird to like change the name. I didn't know what else to come up with. It was just always my name. I had my records with this name, so I didn't see any big reason to change it. Maybe one day I will just skip it to D-Flow, just to make it shorter, and then I don't, no one has to worry what it means or whatever, but what it could potentially mean, I think it's not my place to explain.
Yeah, I think that based on the questions for the guests that we're going to leave out, there's a lot of questions related to deflowering. So that's something that we'll leave off for this one.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. Yeah, maybe, I mean, like I said, No one has to worry that it has a meaning for myself. I just picked it as a joke with my friend back then, and I somehow kept it. I think in the future I might skip it just to deflow, and then those discussions maybe won't hunt me, you know.
All right. Well, I thought this was a really good question. This is from Zash. He wanted to ask you, if you had your own HCR2 team and you had the option to put anyone in your team, which five players would you must have in your team? And I want to make it a little bit more interesting, and you can't choose players from Discord, because otherwise you probably fill it up with Discord.
No. Okay. Five players. So yeah, I would definitely, I would just go with friends now, you know, so I would just probably definitely put Vereshchag in there. I would put Leo Leo in there. I would put Kanto Space in there. And I would put Cool Guy in there. Who else?
One more.
Razor.
Yeah. Razor. Rosita. Why does Rosita always get a shout out in this podcast?
I don't know. Yeah. He always does.
See, this is a sign that he has to come on. So if you're listening to Rosita, please come on.
It's true. So this one is from, let's see. Let's do the one from Dada. They said, what do you enjoy most about playing HCR2? Follow up, what part of the game do you enjoy least?
Yeah. I think definitely that team events have changed it a lot. It obviously has changed my whole life, considering how little time I usually have spent on the game. And now I play it daily. So a lot changed, right? Like I said, back then I was very focused for a long time on playing with the Border Cross and improving my records. And when team events started then, I got like a lot more into this part of the game. And I would also say that I still enjoy it the most. There's sometimes the team events that you don't like, of course, but most of the time I think it's still very refreshing for me every day to play it. I have usually never been a big adventure player, but that also like changed a lot, at least when they released the new adventure tab, and you're getting now a legendary chest for each 50k after you reach Canyon Year. So I played a lot of adventure. I don't play it at all at the moment. Cups can be fun. I mean, I must say, especially if I compare now my second account with my first account, it can be a pain with like low level parts to keep up in cups. But I do enjoy sometimes driving cups with my first account. Because I have like much higher parts, and it's definitely like fun to drive them with like monster truck or super bike, rotator. I think that's definitely something I enjoy.
Yeah, and I actually saw before the podcast, I saw that you are ranked 173 globally in adventure. So you're actually a pretty pretty good adventure player too.
Yeah, I think I was, my highest was like 90 or something, but I didn't play for weeks because I felt like now it's getting to a point where I would probably have to like invest a lot more time into this. I would say that I just haven't played it, right? So it turns out I'm okay at adventure. But since I didn't play for quite a long time, I wouldn't say that I'm like so much into it, but I think it counts for everyone. I think there are probably like quite some people who don't play it. And it shows that you can definitely become a good adventure player if you get into it. For me, it was just the incentive to start with it more because it's helped me to grow my GP a lot, really a lot, if you think about it. If you become a Canyoneer 15, 20, you get 15 to 20 legendary chests, and that's a lot if you consider how rarely you receive a legendary chest by Fingersoft.
It's true.
No.
Yeah, I'm also, to be honest, adventure isn't my thing. I only grinded Canyoneer for the sake of the tag and the plague and
the crown.
And the title of Canyoneer, the crown, yeah. But other than that, it's like I thought at one point, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get to Canyoneer, and since you get a legendary chest every 50,000, I'll wait for a new vehicle and then grind. And then the rotator came out, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I have enough scrap. So definitely not my thing.
So there's a question by DC Hype that I will not ask because it may only need to be shared in private, but he actually has a good question that is family friendly. And this question is, what do you think has led to your success on YouTube? So you started a channel, you may not have had the GP that Verishak had, but you got really popular pretty quickly. So how do you, you know, what do you attribute to your success?
Yeah, the beginning was quite a pain, I must say. I think I had like weeks and weeks where I had like a very, very low amount of subscribers. So it's always very, very hard to start. You need to like gain a certain base of subscribers that like your videos and watch it or share it just to like, gain popularity. So I think I had like 27 subscribers the first weeks. It was like very, very little. And at some point I was already like thinking like, oh, who knows if I ever like, reach 1,000 subscribers or something. That was like always my goal, maybe to like get 1K subscribers. And like I said, the start was very painful. But I think at sometimes you also need like a little bit of luck. And I definitely had this bit of luck because I don't remember the name of the team event, but I was in Team PR back then, and our team event literally just started after the old one just ended. And yeah, I was able to put like a decent score there. I think I had like one track where I think it was with the football, and I did it was jump shocks, landing boost, and wings with a sports car. And this video got shared a lot. It really got shared a lot. Usually my videos get only like got back then only got like, I don't know, a couple of hundred views. And when I like published this video, I think at the end it got like 12,000 views throughout the whole weekend. Yeah. And I think I had like, I don't know, 100 subscribers when I published this video, and after the weekend I had 300. And that was the starting point for me where it like took off a little. I also remember that when I published it, that Verishak wasn't posting his usual video on a Friday. I think he like posted it this time on a Sunday. So that actually gave me a huge advantage because that was like the video out there that was like shared. And like I said, I got like 200 subscribers then on one weekend. And that was, of course, crazy for my standards because I only had 100 in, 1 or 2 months, right? So so that's how it started. And I think then you, like I said to you, also like need a little bit of luck. I think my channel was probably also kind of unique because I had some motocross videos on there, and so when this video got shared, all the people also like started watching my other videos. And I had like one top five motocross world record video and one video that was with a downhill, how I drove a public event with a motocross downhill. And those videos started to like all of a sudden, they shoot up, you know. That was helped me a lot. And also like month after, now these videos have like, I don't know, 80,000 views each. And but before the team event video, they only had, I don't know, a couple of hundred, you know. And I think I gained a lot of subscribers through those two videos and the team event video back then. And then I had like some head base. I started to like make more and more subscribers. I gained 1,000 subscribers. And I remember that I was really 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 happy about that because it felt like I have achieved something, especially the painful start where I felt like I'm not really gaining any subscribers. But yeah, I think once I had like 1,000 subscribers, it was going much easier for me. But the way to 1,000 subscribers was really, really tough.
Tell me about
it. So there you go. Anita, when you're trying to gain your subscribers, all you have to do is message Verishack, EO, Dflow, Ligna, and tell them just go dark for one weekend. It's all you need is one weekend.
Go dark for one weekend. Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Actually, I was really happy with the video posted with Reddit versus Russia. I think that's been my most popular video. I was really happy that it got, I think, over 1,000 views. So for me, that was like, I'm the king of the world right now. And I know it's trash. Like, you probably get that on like an ad.
Well, nowadays, you know, I mean, I've been there, you know.
Yeah, but it's fun. Honestly, I think everybody that makes the videos is for the, I mean, I hope it's for the fun of it, you know, to share nice content. And, you know, if you enjoy it, then it's the way to go.
No, I mean, it's definitely what I can say to everyone who starts. Just try to make sure that you have interesting content. Don't underestimate thumbnails. They make up everything in the end. They decide if people click the video or not. So it can be worth it sometimes to spend an hour or two just to make the thumbnail. It makes up a lot for your success sometimes. Yeah, that's definitely what I can recommend the most. Just make sure that you that you take some care of your editing, that it like is interesting to watch, that there are no breaks in there. And just choose good music, make it interesting, and definitely take care of that you have an interesting thumbnail.
I took note of all of that.
good.
So as always, we always ask our guests like the same questions because everyone's always interested in this. So I wanted to know which top, or in your opinion, what are the top three players in the game currently? And as always, team event only. Mm-hmm. And which three players that you've never played with would you want to play with?
Yeah. So I was, of course, prepared for this question. And
I like it.
And I must say that I also had the same feeling as a bit old, that like there are like so many great players out there. It's just like tough to just like name three, which is why I also
No.
I think it's a one-off on this one.
I can hear it.
No, we're not doing this anymore. You have to crunch it down to three. The top three names on that list. Don't say more.
Well, let's say like this. I didn't do it like a video. I didn't mention every Hill Climb Pressing player too that I know, you know.
That doesn't matter. We're sticking to three. Because the moment we give some rope to more people, everyone else is going to be like, oh, can I do 10? Can I do 5? It's like, no.
Well, let's hear him out. If there's different reasons for each player, that could be cool to hear.
Hulk, I'm not dealing with this shit in the future, man. This is your fault now.
Fine. I take it.
Okay, then. Okay. Then I just named three, I guess. I would have made it short, but... Okay, yeah, I think I've talked about this before, I've asked before. So for me, I named three players here that I would think are number one. And I think that Bearshark, Leo, and Ken to Space, those are the people that I put.
Yeah, fantastic players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those have been always repeating in everyone's list, like either one of them. They always come up, yeah.
Yeah, I know they're great. I mean, Verishak definitely is always, for me, very impressive how early he puts up the top score. Of course, he also like spends tickets immediately, but still, sometimes he still does it in his first or second try. So I think that was always very impressive. Yeah, Leo, I played with him for quite a while. It's definitely, very crazy, the understanding he has of the game, of the physics. You can just definitely see that... there are only a couple of players who have a certain feeling of the game, and I think he's a very good example for it. And Ken the Space as well. He's also very, very creative, has very good ideas for tracks. But I definitely feel that he's like super talented, and also deserves, to my mind.
Also ridiculous with the wheelie events.
Oh yeah, with the hot rod.
Yeah.
He's like the only person that can wheelie with a hot rod.
Exactly, yeah. So stuff like this that he does, definitely made me think that's, yeah.
Yeah, by the end of this team event, he's going to have videos of 10K dune buggy wheelies with no parts.
Oh, yeah, he always does that. No, you know what? I think he's going to make a video 10K wheelie with a
G. Oh, jeez. MK, yeah, probably.
And the other part of the question, D-Flow?
I've never played with Razor, great player. I also have never played in team with Turtle and Kane to Space, I would say, those three players.
Okay, yeah. good list. Two of them were noobs, Turtle and Razor. I mean, don't even get me started on those two. I don't even know what they're doing. Like, I'm teaching them how to play.
All right. So this is, we also ask the guest to provide the hint for the next guest. So would you do the honors, D-Flow, and provide us the hint for our next guest before we wrap it up here?
Oh, of course. So this hill climb racing player would be straight money at the circus.
This hill climb racing player would be straight money at the circus. All right. I'm sure we'll hear Dash or somebody else will immediately post a hint, and then somebody will pick it pretty quickly. But we're trying to get better at
this. This is hard, actually. I think this will require some like research into some things. Like it's not that straightforward.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it doesn't go out in one day.
Outside of the box.
Yeah, man, every hint is getting harder and harder to make.
Yeah, it's true.
We're getting there, though. We'll make them harder and harder, too. So if our hints are really terrible, we can just blame it on, you know, we're trying to increase difficulty.
Yeah, no, I swear, one day we have to make one where, like, nobody guesses it. Although that would be pointless. There would be no fun in that.
All right, D-Flow, well, this has been fun. We appreciate you taking the time to jump on a call with us. And we have a lot of people that want to hear from you. And I'm sure that they'll be excited to listen to this when it's released.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was great to be here. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, D-Flow. I really appreciate you coming. And yeah, I mean, for us, you're like a Verishek or like an EO. So it's amazing that you wanted to come on and you were excited to come. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
So that being said, this is it. We will we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye.